Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here yet again on another month and another great set of guests that we have in store for this episode. We're always trying to, of course, talk a little bit about what's going on in the FSHD Society. Take a look at our Hot Off the Press episodes for that. But these episodes, no offense to the others, I love these because this is where we get to sit down and talk to the people, the caregivers, the family members, and get really into beyond the science of the disease. And let's talk about the people that it affects, which to me is really key in all of this. And me being a person that has this lovely disease, it's also fun to talk to others that can share a little bit in the battle and going forward. And in this case today, I know these are two people that you recognize very well. We have Tony and Jenny. They have a YouTube channel out there that kind of went on hiatus just for a little bit. I think it's starting to ramp up. We're going to talk about that. And I think they're getting to be more and more recognized, right? Guys, welcome to the show. Kind of borderline famous, maybe, in our FSHD community, maybe, right?
And in our own heads, no.
I hope so. I hope so. It's definitely been fun for us.
Yes, yes.
Yes, to have two interviews within a week.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, man, I'm totally jealous now. Wow.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yes. So.
Yeah. So where was the other interview? You got my attention on that.
So with June.
Yeah, with June Kinoshita and
Zach. I
believe. And Zach, yeah, from the FSHD Society.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, that was what part of the young.
Oh, the young professionals group or something like that. We spoke about relationships.
Yes.
So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Always.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a whole nother area of conversation, right? I mean,
it certainly is.
Oh yes. My goodness.
Yes. These young professionals tapping the 50-year-old guy. So
yes, and trying not to deter them from entering into relationships.
Exactly.
Maybe we should touch on some of those things,
that
we talked about too. But since the last time we saw you, that was in 2020. We were kind of talking about that before we hit the old record button. And you know, what has changed? I mean, for everybody, a lot has changed, I'm sure. But for yourselves as a couple, even in professional world and so forth, what has changed? What has been going on since we saw you guys last?
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
What do you say? We've gone through some major transitions. And do you want to let them know how it started?
Oh, well, let's see. How far back do we go?
Yeah, how far back do we go? Exactly.
The Wayback Machine?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The Wayback Machine.
It did become difficult to keep posting on our channel and, you know, keep making content when Tony had some health problems, that he was having some shoulder pains. So I know chronic pain can be, you know, an issue with FSHD. Mm-hmm. And for him, he was just relying on his shoulders so much for transfers and dressing himself. And I don't even think we realized how much you relied on your shoulders as the biceps had gone and the shoulders became, you know, so important.
Right.
So I know you experienced some weakness and pain there. Mm-hmm. And it kind of happened slowly and then all of a sudden, more acute.
Correct.
So, remember that night? It was a date night.
It was
speaking
a date
of
night.
Relationships.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was on a date night.
It was a date night of all nights. And we just, you know, we were hanging out after our date. Mm-hmm. And I had, like Jenny mentioned, occurrences of like shoulder pains happened in the past, but nothing that I couldn't, you know, that wouldn't like work itself out by the end of the night usually.
Yeah.
Or taking like a little ibuprofen. But that particular night, it seemed to get worse. Hmm. And Jen knows that I'm not a complainer. So at the end of the night, when I went up to her and mentioned that I'm my shoulders are really bugging me, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. She knew right then that she's like, we need to go to the ER. So that's what we ended up doing. And it took them a good while for them to see me. What, like 7 hours?
Yeah, we were waiting about seven hours.
Yeah.
He had like level 9 shoulder pain. Mm-hmm. It was, I've never seen Tony in pain like that because, you know, he is such a good sport. And if he has some pain one day, he doesn't even tell us because he doesn't want to worry anyone. Or, and I don't think you usually experience a lot of pain.
No.
Like as an FSHD person, I don't think you experience a lot of pain, but I could see it in your eyes.
Right. Yeah. There was concern there. And come to find out that night that my shoulder is dislocated, like sublux. So it's like extremely dislocated. So
yeah,
it's the x-rays are pretty ugly.
Oh yeah. It's just like hanging like
I know
underneath.
Oh my gosh.
It was kind of like a complication from an old high school injury that never healed right.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, or time went on, mm-hmm. and the weakening of the muscles around the shoulder,
and the ligaments,
and everything, that's kind of what it keeps the muscle in the socket, or the joint in the socket, are the muscles, and that's a long since gone from what the specialist said, and it's literally just like hanging there. So I mean, whenever I use it or don't use it, I'm kind of leaning on it just to provide support.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting turn of events for that night. Yeah. Just to find that out. You're like, great.
Yeah. And then, so then what was the path from there medically that they could do for that?
Well, right now we're waiting to see a specialist. We've seen two specialists so far that they were like, once we talked with them and they kind of scoped, looked at the x-rays and took into consideration the disability, they're like, this is kind of above what I know what to do outside of a temporary fix. So we've been referred to a third specialist that we're going to see next month. And he's like, I guess, the upper echelon, and we're going to see what he has to say, if there's anything that he can do. And hopefully there is like a procedure that, he can do that'll help, more long-term. So,
More of a long-term. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then does this continue to go out of socket, so to speak, or out of joint, and then continue to give you pain at this point?
The pain's back under control. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, it's still, subluxed or dislocated. And I just baby it.
So, but at first the pain wasn't quite so manageable. In a time span of 3 weeks, he was in the ER 4 times, mm-hmm. in the hospital twice, and in the ICU once.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a big issue.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was actually a complicated issue because it was really painful when they would try to reset it, mm-hmm. and put it back in joint, and then only for it to fall right back out. So I think the doctors were starting to get confused as well. Like why won't it stay?
Right. Yeah. Why won't it pop back in?
Yeah. And then the pain medicines that he was on were causing him not only to sleep, and it's hard to work when you're going through something like this. And then it ended up causing
other
like
complications.
Yeah, like digestive complications.
How graphic can we get on your show?
You can get as graphic as you want.
All right.
It's pretty graphic. Let's just say it was a graphic situation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Because they would, every time he'd go in the hospital, they would give him pictures and pictures of Miralax
to help the issue that the painkillers were stirring up.
Yeah, and then they would send him home to me.
Oh, that's great.
So it means to say, that pendulum went from one extreme to the other.
It was insane because it was like, just like the royal flush. And then it was like, boom,
Yeah, exactly.
Except we had no way to move him.
Right.
Because he did his own transfer. So I was not trained to be a caregiver. I didn't know how to move Tony. And so all of a sudden his shoulders are in a double brace. They had a double brace because this one they said was a little off too.
Right.
We didn't know. So I have to figure out how to like move a 6'2", 200 and something pound guy into his wheelchair and then onto the toilet in this little bathroom. And you know, there's no time to spare when you have pictures of Miralax in your system. Time is not your friend.
Nature doesn't call in those instances. It like screams for attention, like immediate attention. There's very little time to say, oh, okay, let's have a careful or slow transfer.
No,
this is like, let's get, I don't know.
Like the FBI involved, like the military.
Yeah.
Like, it was rough. I mean, I'm so glad we can laugh about it because it was harrowing.
June was not a fun month.
No, June was not a fun month. Yeah. It was a messy month. Went through a lot of bed sheets.
Yes.
But you know, we're on the other side. I don't give him Miralax. I don't even allow it in the house.
Exactly.
No. I don't even allow it in the house.
Oh, yeah. It's been permabanned.
Yeah, he just smells it. It's like, oh.
Yeah, and it's odorless. So
I know it's in here. Right, exactly. You probably, your system probably knows
exactly.
It's
around. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a trauma response to it.
It is. I have PTSD related to Miralax. So we don't talk about that in our house.
No.
Is that weird? But yeah, so I mean, needless to say, we took a break.
Sure. Yes.
And
it was complications that led up to that. That night was kind of like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Or kicked off the perfect storm with the shoulders and then the extreme, you know, stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were issues outside of that kind of came in tow with like blood pressure and diabetic complications.
Mm-hmm. Because when we thought you were feeling better,
mm-hmm.
your blood pressure dropped.
It dropped like crazy low.
Yeah, it was like 70 over 50. It wasn't good.
Wow.
That's when he went back to the hospital. Yeah, and went to the ICU.
Yeah.
So
yeah. But once we got stabilized and all that taken care of, you know, I have, knock on wood, thankfully not gone back into the hospital.
And
we were commemorating like the days as they would go by, like, hey, we didn't have to call, you know, 911 today. That seems like a little victory, you know, and then a week would go by and we'd do the same thing. So celebrate that. But we got July. And
that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Now in August, right? So
now in August.
As for this. Yeah. And hopefully by the time this is aired, it's
small milestones where we get them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this kind of, the shoulders situation kind of set things into course leading into this kind of domino effect, right? Physically. Do you think then that's, or are you, I don't want to use the word worried. I don't love that word, but is that in your mind that as you're getting older, right, with this disease, that this is just one thing on top of the next, on the next round of whatever that's going to lead to?
It is. And it's definitely something that the spotlight had to get refocused onto. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, it's okay to use worried because we're definitely worried about the future and all. And, mm-hmm. and we had to think about how to, because this is this entire time, Jen was thrust into the role of caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And it was new for me to express a procedure that I've been going through in my own head. I kind of had, you know, how I went about doing things and then having to convey that to her. So there was this communication that we had to establish.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, there are certain things that don't work that I was just so used to doing by myself. And we found out if you get another person in there, say in like the bathroom and the space is so confined, it just doesn't work.
Yes.
So we had to come up with different ways to get me, you know, on and off the toilet, in and out of the shower, you know,
in
on and
a
off
very
the bed.
Short amount of time.
And exactly.
Like overnight.
Exactly. Overnight. And then with you factor in like the urgency with the Miralax situations.
Right. This adds some more pressing matters.
It does. Yeah, exactly.
And two heads are better than one. Like he would have a way in his mind of how we should do it. And I would have a way in my mind. And in the end, it ended up being like a combination. because, sure, you know, you really have to think smarter, not harder. It's like, I don't know. To me, it was a logistical issue because we had to get him on the toilet safely, even after the Miralax, like just in general, we had to get you on the toilet safely. And somebody recommended the firefighters to come because they know how to do transfers, and we had ordered a Hoyer lift. So, it was going to arrive Saturday. And so this was on Monday, and I thought, okay, we have 5 days to get to the Hoyer lift.
Right.
So let's have the firefighters help out. And they sent three firefighters, and they couldn't do it. Wow. So after they called two more, and a total of five guys got him on the toilet, then they said that they weren't really going to be able to do that again. Like, this isn't really a repeat for us.
Like,
we're throwing our backs out.
Because they didn't know, like, they just weren't used to it. They weren't sure how your body worked. They didn't want to hurt you. They didn't want to hurt them.
Right.
So that's when I had to realize that, like, it was up to us. Like, we're going to have to figure it out. We can't, no one's going to rescue us.
Yeah.
And that was a defining moment. Just having to tell Tony, like, hey, these firefighters don't want to come back. Mm-hmm. Tony was, I was like, I didn't want to tell him that. But it worked because I did manage to get you on the toilet the next time.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't because I'm as strong as the firefighters or stronger. It was because, like, I feel like I know your body.
You do.
Like, we've been together 11 years. I know how, like, I know what to pull on, what not to pull on. And then you know your body, obviously.
Yes.
So between the two of us, I almost think that we, like, outsmarted it almost. Like, it wasn't about brute strength, you know? Right. It was just about, like, a little tug here, a little pull here. Like, you know, try not to topple over.
Yeah.
Try not to hurt the shoulder.
Yeah.
And it might have taken longer, but we did it.
We got it.
We did it.
And eventually, it became more efficient.
Yeah.
We just got to be a bit, you know, quicker. And a little... Yeah. We would adopt little adjustments here and there. Mm-hmm. And we were like, huh, that worked really well this time. And the whole thing.
It's like an efficiency process.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think that, or at least I didn't think that the shoulder would come into play as much when I was being transferred from with other people's help. Mm-hmm. But it was just as much of an issue because they couldn't, like, grab me under that arm. Right. To manipulate me. So it was strange for them to wrap their heads around, because normally you would, you know, they would think, okay, we'll just bear hug this guy and move him from his wheelchair to the toilet. But when they're risking injuring it more or hurting me, you know, that's kind of a big thing to have to factor in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then that goes to your point of the fact that you know, Jen, you know his body. Obviously, Tony, you know your own. The firefighters don't.
Yeah,
but they're kind of playing, like, they're a little bit in the dark, right? So it's when really what you're describing is adapting. You guys quickly adapted and then kind of formulated a process. How was the communication though? Like, be real here, right? I mean, you know, if this was my situation and me and my wife had to do this, there's definitely going to be a little bit of a snip back and forth to start, at least to start.
Yes.
No, we
can
do that. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. So how does that play out? You know, for those that are watching this that are in a similar situation where spouses, but there's these moments that you're now going into. Now I'm a caregiver for you, and I'm helping you out. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, we had multiple meltdowns. Okay. Mm-hmm. Multiple meltdowns. Like, it was like its own trauma. And not just because of the things we were being asked to do, like the actual tasks, but just the emotional stress that goes with the fact that, how do we do this every single day?
Right.
How do we keep doing this when it's hard? How do we look at each other the same when we're seeing each other in this light?
In that role.
And I mean, it was its own kind of trauma, and we did have multiple meltdowns.
Oh, yeah.
All I can say is that I really feel like we just gave each other a pass.
You have to.
I just did. Like, we said things we regretted to each other. Like, I mean, you know, in the heat of the moment, like aggravations, frustrations, you know, we vented things that probably shouldn't, you know, we didn't really need to say. It didn't help the situation.
Right.
But I really do think, like, at the end of each thing, once we were successful in whatever we were trying to do, it's like, you get a little shot of dopamine from like, you know, getting you successfully wherever we're trying to do it. And then we would kind of exhale and be like, I love you. Yeah. Or I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
a little clarity.
Sorry. We
didn't,
that way.
We didn't do that great. Like we'll try next time. But I mean, we really did just, it was a lot of grace. Yeah. It was like, just give this person a pass because we're both in the trenches right now and we're foxhole buddies.
Yeah.
And however it needs to get done is how it's going to get done.
Yeah. It was, it's definitely where we are now was measured by tiny little victories.
And
each time we had to go tackle a transfer or one of these new caregiving duties, it's just literally, okay, you know, this was better than the last. Or this was worse than the last. How can we learn from that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And also learning our triggers, like what triggers us, because, you know, it's like, I'm sorry for the person I was when, you know, I put you on the toilet at 2 a.m. You know, it wasn't, it's not my shining hour.
Right. Waking up from a dead sleep going,
yeah, like that was a trigger for me. Like, cause Tony works overnight. So, I mean, he works from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So I would be just like soundly asleep. And, you know, there's a knock on the door and he's coming in at, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 1 a.m. saying, I got to go. You know, can you help me? And of course I can, but it's like so disorienting,
disruptive,
you know, when you're completely asleep. And then you have to deal with, you know, the four-year-old the next morning all day long.
Right.
And just getting interrupted like that for me felt like very triggering. So we came up with a system where, you know, every morning I check to see, like, do you have to go to the bathroom? Mm-hmm. And then anytime during the day is fine. Like, I mean, he's sleeping, but every time I would wake, like he would wake up to get ready for work, I would say like, hey, you got to go. You know, we would give like opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's not that you can't go randomly, but we try to stay away from the overnight shift.
Right. Well, what we're trying to do is,
this is a boundary.
Is eliminate the unpredictability.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that we had to take into consideration, or at least use in how we adapted.
Yeah.
Is getting on a management program, to where you know it's just we'll eat at this time.
We went on a routine.
Yeah, exactly. So
and the body gets in a routine.
Trial and error in that as well. So there again, that's another like learning curve that you're introducing into something that already has a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
And you know, it wasn't like it stayed that way because certain things would resolve, get a little bit better, only to introduce other factors as well. So you're just like, it's like this constantly shifting, how would you say, you know, just
process. I mean, like we found out what works for us.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it took some trial and error.
Yeah. And a lot of research and a lot of, trial and error on top of that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you kind of mentioned that there. You said research and
yes.
So what's changed then, even in your house, you talked about a Hoyer lift. I know all too well what that looks like. I noticed in one of the videos, you're being transferred in like a track system. Right? From like a sling? Is that what you mean by the Hoyer?
There's that ceiling lift.
The ceiling lift.
Hoyer, but the ceiling lift, it doesn't work right now.
Yeah, so. That was a video that we had filmed last year before he got injured. And when his health started declining, I never edited and put up that video. So it was just kind of sitting in the bank. Yeah. And we went ahead and put it up just in case it helps anybody. But that's not working right now. We do need to get it fixed.
Yeah.
But we do have like a portable Hoyer that I've been using, like, because I can take it by the bed and I can get him in and out of bed, or I can get you on the toilet.
Yes. Yeah.
And that has been a back saver.
Yes.
You know? It saves me. Yeah.
Right. Physically take, you know, my body weight off of, you know, straining Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's really good to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then that kind of leads to a good segue into the next question, which was, you know, someone in this situation, the transition seems like it can happen quickly. Maybe felt like it did that for you guys. But there's others that I've heard give advice like, try to think ahead. What do you think you're going to need? And this and that. So for those that, you know, they're listening to this story, go, oh boy, you know, are we going to need something like this? What kind of equipment then? Sounds like Hoyer lift is on the list for sure when you're doing transferring and stuff. But like, what are those like must haves if you had to make a shopping list for someone to say you need this equipment?
That's good.
That's good. Right.
definitely invest in a good shower and commode chair.
Yes.
Because I think not only is that helpful at the house, but on for traveling.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Because we went to visit my aunt in Florida, and I don't know what we would really do if we didn't have equipment like that, that we could just put in the van and go, because everybody's bathroom is different. And how would you get a shower if we were on a longer vacation? True.
Yeah.
Definitely the Hoyer lift.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just coming up with like a kit, you know, what we would call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, with like, baby wipes and,
we call it your diaper bag.
Yeah, my diaper bag.
Diaper bag.
She can throw the D word out there. Yeah.
I know.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah, it's like an emergency bag.
Yeah, exactly. An emergency bag. Yeah. I like that word. Yeah, yeah.
That's maybe better.
Yes, it's my emergency bag. Thank you, hon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's probably better.
But for all intents and purposes, that's
just anything you might need
for the bathroom.
You don't want to be without it.
Right. It's better to have it with and not use it than to be without.
Mm-hmm.
So then with the situation as it's evolved to here,
yes,
does that make you even think, okay, man, what is this going to look like in 5 years, in 10 years?
Right, right. I mean, wouldn't you think that with where I'm at with my progression,
mm-hmm.
that it's a pretty good system that, because I feel like I'm pretty far off. Especially with having to deal with like, you know, two dislocated shoulders and, you know, I don't know. I think like the equipment that we've got right now helps tremendously. But right now it's kind of like a fight for space to where you're not having to trip over, you know, a Hoyer lift in the bedroom and shower chairs and all that. So that's kind of like the next thing that, you know, we're going to try to tackle is, you know, I guess making it more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with this shift in health wise. Sounds like things are settling down to some degree. You talked about having a good routine.
Yes.
Emergency kit in certain situations and so forth. And that's great because that sounds like how I usually handle things. Like, okay, now if I'm pre-planning and now if I'm
pre-planning,
I can at least go off of that. How does that affect then in your work world? You talk about working still, you know, is there any other adjustments that you have to make because of that with work and the way your physical health is changing as well?
Well, work-wise, I was fortunate enough to get a fully remote job towards the end of last year. And that has taken off a huge stressor from, you know, both our plates, because prior to that, Jen was driving me to and from work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like factoring in like those hours and everything. But the fact that, you know, my office environment is custom to me in my own house. The most I have to, you know, the farthest I have to go is from the bedroom to the office desk and what's that, like 20 feet. So that's pretty manageable. And you don't realize like how much time you buy back in your week, when you eliminate the driving to and forth and all that, and the wear and tear on the car. So that's money saved, the gas and all that. So, I mean, it was a huge blessing to get that, you know, especially when we did.
Yeah. It eliminates a lot of variables. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when Tony, like things that would happen where he would have to call in sick, like it eliminates a lot of that.
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Yeah. Cause before that it didn't happen, you know, very much, but if there were, MD related issues, I would either have to, you know, call in, explain, you know, I got to be late or I can't come in today. And when you're ultimately just saying, I got to take a sick day, you know, that starts chipping into like vacation times and all that, you know, right. PTO that you want to save up for. And that stinks, but it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, it's more controlled, I feel, you know. Yeah, or it's a lot.
Yeah, you don't hardly ever miss a day now.
Yeah.
Even when you were in the hospital, you came home and worked the same day. He came home in his hospital clothes and pulled up to the computer.
Like, I got to get back to work.
He's business. business 360.
So then when you talked with the other FSHD group, it was the young professionals, right? That you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. What were some of the key points that you brought up to them that you could kind of share with us here? Was it like job adjustments like you were just talking about, trying to find something that kind of fits, or, you know, continuing with your future in work? What was a little bit of the main topic or talking points that you had there?
Really, that discussion was about being in a relationship. Yeah.
Like our love story.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. Well then better still, you know, you talked about being caregiver. How does that shift then the role? You know, you're talking about love story. Does that affect the love story?
Yes, it really does. Because, I mean, it's still all there, but
yeah.
I feel like we spend so much time doing the caregiving stuff that you really have to be intentional, because sometimes I'm almost, it's like, we're almost like too tired, you know, in the morning, like we do all the caregiving and, you know, you have to think like, how can we spend quality time, or how can we carve out time for intimacy or whatever? Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah, we're eating breakfast together. That's nice. We have like a date night each week that we try to prioritize above anything. Mm-hmm. Like, unless the kids are sick or one of us is sick, like we're going on our date night.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot, because I mean, that's like the highlight of our week sometimes, you know, right. It's just right. getting out and, just acting like that's not really a thing, you know, just acting like it's just Tony and Jenny, you know?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like during the grind where we're just doing the work week and the caregiving in the morning and the caregiving in the evening, like we have these routines that we have to keep going. We're also treating his swelling. He has edema right now. So, it's like a whole thing.
Where's that?
So we're like, we have all these like,
about that.
You know, like routines that have to keep going in order. Yeah. In order for him to feel good. So I'd say like, sometimes it does get a little, didn't you think?
Oh yeah.
It gets
oh, yeah.
a little like roommate, like during those, you know, it's like, we're it's just a working relationship, you know? Yeah. Yes. We're laughing. We put on music, we talk, but it's like friendship. It's like, and then, you know, yeah. But then date night is more like,
yes,
you know.
Yes. Get some margaritas and
have some adult time.
Right. Get some like fun. Yeah. Like laughs and all that.
Yes. We don't plan any like showering or other caregiving. Like we don't plan any like heavy routines on that night. We're just like, go right to bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
I know what you're saying.
At the end of the date. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But that's good to keep it. Would that be your big advice? Was that your big takeaway for the people involved in that conversation? Was, you know, hey,
Oh yeah. Not to let it like
have a date night, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Still keep that, you know, like that side of the relationship going. Mm-hmm. Try to find ways to feed that. And you had brought up while, you know, kind of in the middle or the thick mm-hmm. of it, while we were doing like making these new adjustments to each other's lives and everything, mm-hmm. that since you had assumed this role of caregiver, for me, that you had found out that in some ways, you know, I was your caregiver as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I, you know, that was something that I hadn't, you know, thought about before. You know, that there's like this dynamic of caregiving between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and that was like a way of me being able to say, okay, you know, it's not just all, this is something that we can reciprocate in between each other. And yeah. And that way I'm not feeling like I'm just totally like, you know, taking. Yeah. But there are things that I could do to give back and, you know, just, yeah, feel a little bit better about the, you know, our situation. So,
yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like spa days.
Oh yeah. Spa days. There you go. Yes. You know, yeah. Yes. I saw that.
Like, what is my love language?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cause I would tell him like, if I got, you know, like I would put all these hours into caregiving and then, you know, we also have three kids and I work from home.
Uh-huh.
And there's just a lot to balance and juggle. And, you know, the week sometimes feels a little bit full and, you know, he's working 12-hour shifts. And sometimes I would get overwhelmed and, you know, need some emotional support. And then, you know, Tony's highly introverted, which, I mean, he's very social. So it's kind of hard to, you know, like you're an extroverted introvert, right? But he is more on the quiet side. And so like, sometimes I would feel overwhelmed, and if he didn't know what to say, then he just wouldn't say anything. And, you know, just like, I'm just not going to touch that. But I pointed out one time, I was like, this is how you can be my caregiver. Like, you can, you know, like help support me when I'm feeling overwhelmed. Yep. And that's a good way, like, to verbally and emotionally support me and be my caregiver. And as soon as I said that to you, like, I mean, he just took it and ran with it.
The,
like,
wheels kind of clicked. Yeah. You know,
he's a very good caregiver. Mm-hmm. And he is very just attentive. And, you know, he takes care of me every bit as much. It's just in a different way. But it's been good.
Mm. That's well put. Wow. That's good. That's a goosebump right there. Yeah. Yeah. So, Jen, you talk about, you know, the things you're saying, you know, managing the kids, being a caregiver, all these different hats, all these different roles. How do you manage that internally from one shift of something that you're needed to do and so forth? And then, of course, making sure you have time for yourself. I'd imagine you're seeking those moments too to kind of refuel your own battery, right?
Yes.
How do you manage all that? What's advice for them?
I mean, if I'm honest, sometimes I manage it well and sometimes I manage it poorly. I get into a groove and I'll just kind of know exactly, you know, what to do, where I need to be, what needs to be done. Cause I do like being on a routine, but every now and then it just feels like a lot. And that's the time where I'm just like, can I get in my pajamas, you know, after dinner? And you know, Tony will take over the night routine. Like, Tony will just kind of, we call it, like, you know, management on wheels.
Yeah.
And he just goes around like mobile management. Mobile management. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he'll just make sure, like, is everybody's homework done?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Let's load the dishwasher for mom. Yes. You know, she cooked dinner. Let's load it up. Yeah. Let's get Alex in the bathtub. Yeah. You know, let's get everybody's teeth brushed.
Yeah.
And, you know, between, we have two teenagers and then we have a 4-year-old. So we're kind of used to wearing different hats because you really can't parent any of them the same.
Right.
Just all different. Yeah. Yeah. So he takes over and he'll just let me, you know, if I'm really just feeling it, go get a cup of hot tea and just go in my bed and just watch some, like, girl shows.
Yeah. Get some, you know, alone time. So
get some alone time. Yeah. So he's really good about that because I do like to be out and doing my thing, but every now and then I just feel
it gets to be a lot.
I just feel like I need a little quiet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm feeling guilty from that. Sounds like Tony, man, I can visualize you. Yeah, just wheeling around. Hey, you got to do this. We need to do that.
Yeah.
Rounding the troops up, totally being a team
leader.
That's
right. That's right. Mobilize the troops.
Mobilize the troops.
So good at it.
I do. Here's one of the things that I've actually gotten a lot of enjoyment out of, because back in my day, no, one of the hats that I used to wear when I was a little more able-bodied is that I was, I cooked, you know, in a restaurant. And being able to take some of those skills and say, you know, what, like a night giving Jen like a break from cooking dinner, they're like, hey, what did you have planned? And I would grab like one of the teenagers and, you know, they would become like my hands and be like, hey, let's go down there. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, not only is it quality time that I could spend with them and, you know, hopefully some of the things that we go through, you know, like stick with them.
Well, they're learning how to cook.
Yeah, that's
the saying. Yeah, you're teaching it too.
Exactly. They have like this, you know, wheelchair guy voice in the back of their mind, you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, add 3 pinches of salt or something. taste, you know, in steps. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's a nice way too to, you know, give Jen a break from that as well.
And y'all did that, like, I think a month ago. My job is to rave about it so much because it's so delicious that it makes them want to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
That's a positive reinforcement.
Like, I don't make the hamburgers as good as y'all do. Y'all make them so good. Oh, man. I've been really craving that hamburger. And then I'm like, I got a night off.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's smart move. Smart move.
And it's all true because he's a good cook. He's a really good cook.
And that's I mean, you're hitting a lot of things when you're doing that with teaching, right? You're teaching how to cook, you're spending the quality time, you're getting a lot of things done, all while helping Jen. I would give her maybe that space off. Yeah, it turns out, it sounds like you are a great caregiver there, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
So with how, you know, we first it got introduced to you guys as a couple was, you know, with the vlog, going on YouTube, seeing, you know, the things you guys would post, kind of went on a little break, talked about that. Is that ramping up again? Is it your goal to kind of put more content out there for those?
Yes.
And I mean, I feel more passionate about it now than I ever have. I used to think it's just fun because I actually just like to make videos. I like to edit. I don't know. I like the creative process. Yeah. But it's so much deeper now because since we have gone through this together, like community is so important, you know, like what you're doing with the radio show yes. and what June is doing and just FSHD, the community is so, so important that we just want to be a part of that. So like any resource we can put out on our channel, if someone finds it and then they don't feel alone, or maybe they get an idea from us uh-huh. on something to try. Yeah. Like that's what's firing me up now is just being a part of that. So.
Yeah.
I think it's very much needed for sure. Yes. Another, especially from your perspective, your point of view, being the couple that we all know you guys as. So is you think that there's any future then going beyond YouTube and maybe, I mean, are we going to see like a whole production, you know, unit within your house, like reality TV kind of thing?
Like John and Kate plus eight?
I guess. I don't know.
I hope not. Exactly.
Great there, but yeah.
I could have picked a better example, but yeah.
They'll probably find somebody younger and, you know, like, I don't know, more, we might have more faces for radio. I don't
right,
know.
But. Right. We could do advertisement for like Centrum or Geritol or
Reflex.
Oh God, no.
Yes. I think you're missing the big plug.
Yes.
We're missing a market here.
Or Metamucil. Yes, exactly.
Could do like perimenopause.
Oh God.
Yeah. And you could do Miralax.
So there we go. Yeah. In a nutshell, yes. There's a
so no.
So you wouldn't do it because you have good sponsors, maybe. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we just have a face get, for YouTube.
AARP on our side. So
yeah.
Wow.
But it would be fun. It would be fun.
We would love that.
Yeah, Tony loves the attention.
Are you that kind of attention guy? Come on, Tony. Really?
He is. He is. When we first met and we're like falling in love. Okay, I said, well, like when you were able-bodied, did you dance? Did you like, were you very physical? Goodness. And he was like, yes. And so one of his brothers got me like this, I don't know, like black market video of Tony dancing. And he had dyed his hair blonde. Okay, an Asian man dyed his hair blonde. He was in the basement and he was just like doing these like, I mean, it was like MC Hammer.
This is when I was in high school. Yes.
It was like,
and breakdancing was a thing. Yeah.
Like coordinated movements. And he was like leading other people in the back and they were dancing. It was awesome.
And so, I think all that footage is gone now forever.
Oh, no, so, I have it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Jen does have it.
Blackmail. Yeah, I have it. Yeah. He's a ham. He's like,
I used to be a ham, big time ham.
Yeah, he loves the attention. So he'll always be on camera somewhere.
Excellent. So the future is bright then, at least we know that.
Yes. Exactly.
It's very bright exactly. and full of cameras. Yes.
Yeah, cameras and glitz and maybe a red carpet. You never know. You know, you
sign never off. Know. And that's the thing. Yeah.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully the ZX won't like trip it up.
Oh my goodness.
Up the red carpet.
Right. Right. Hopefully I'll have a new one by then.
Yeah. But.
Well, thanks guys for joining us. Was there any final thoughts you want to leave the listeners, viewers out there in, you know, advise me in the future, or I don't know what's like your Jen Tony kind of final thought for our listeners.
Well, okay. Real quick. Mm-hmm. When we were away, when we were kind of like on break from the channel and everything, we never stopped talking about it. We missed it. And we always talked about when we would come back to it and everything. And here a few months ago, Jen actually had this really good idea to have like a new saying at the end of our videos. And it used to be, you know, stay strong. Mm-hmm. And we felt with everything that we had gone through up until that point, that a better one and more suitable one would be just to say, take care of each other mm-hmm. at the end of our, you know, shows. Do we call them shows? But, you know, not only, you know, between us, but as a community, you know, we thought it was like a good way to kind of sign off. And yeah,
people started saying that to us. So it was like three different people said it to us within like a few months, and they would be like, all right, guys, take care of each other. And we're like, oh, that's interesting. Take care of each other. And then, you know, we heard it two more times. And I said, I really like that. I like that, you know. So, yeah, if we had any advice to anybody listening, I would just say take care of each other. You know, in the way that you can, you know.
Exactly.
And that way all the needs get met. So, and we need to take care of each other as a community, because there is a lot of need.
There is.
Both emotionally, you know, mentally, physically. And I think when we do things like this, like the interviews, and, you know, when we watch, like we just watched Ryan Levinson's, you know, episode, and we were just like, you know, so helped by it, and it was so awesome. And, you know, we got so much out of it, and, you know, that's taking care of each other, you know, because he was willing to go on there and do that. And then we all benefited from it.
Right.
So I feel like as a community, we can take care of each other. So
nice. That's beautiful. Beautiful closing thought. I love that. I'm not going to steal it either. That's totally your end line. Well, thanks guys again for joining us, spending some time with us. I know I will try not to stay away so long for what.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, this is fun. Yeah,
we almost had a blast. Anytime. We would love to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love it.
Well, thank you very much. You can find them where? Where is your YouTube channel? What is the name of it? Final plug. So they know
Jenny and Tony.
Yeah. Just YouTube, Jenny and Tony. Yeah.
Pretty simple. The only ones on there.
The only ones.
Yes. As far as we know.
You're right.
Thanks again, guys. You take care.
Thanks. Okay. Right. Thanks, bye.
Bye. So that is Jenny and Tony. Check them out on YouTube. Always doing great things for our community. And we appreciate that and everything that they can with us in the FSHD Society. So here I am, full blown screen now. Oh boy, no more shared time. Big things, you know, it depends on when this gets posted. The walk and roll event has been huge and been built up to going piggybacking off of taking care of each other. I really believe that that's one of the ways you can do that. And also, please look into certain community-based programs we have. You know, the Wellness Hour, chapter meetings are out there, early onset, parent roundtable. They've had great topics that they talked about, like pediatric updates for our parents and group. That's that was I think last month, I want to say. Other great chapter meetings happening in your area, including your local chapters. I'm not sure that everybody knows, you know, how many more chapters there are. Take a look, fshdsociety.org. We'll tell you everything you need to know there, and check out their calendar. I mean, that's kind of what I do in these episodes, kind of scroll through to see what are those amazing things that are happening within our community, ways to take care of each other, ways to kind of get more connected. The takeaways for me on what I heard Jenny and Tony talk about today was communication. That seemed to be the big thing for them. And also, and I'm not sure how to phrase this in a sentence, but kind of an acceptance of a really maybe bad or crappy situation that's not so great, that has a lot of anxiety and other emotions that maybe normally would not be there, going through those, making those adjustments within that, still communicating with each other as a couple, and then able to go through it and then work as a team to get it better. The other thing I loved about what they talked about was still being a couple. So for those that are in the exact or similar situation, your loved one, you're their caregiver, and they're also your intimate partner, how do you juggle the two? How do you separate them when you have to and still rely on each other for those things? And the fact that Tony was also a caregiver, huge. I think you have to give each other that time, that space. Leading back to, I think, some of the things that FSHD Society has on their calendar of events and groups, like Women on Wellness, the Wellness Hour, some of our radio shows, Feeling Fit with FSHD. There's so many. Young Professionals Group. There's so many different avenues of this community that you can venture to help you in many aspects of your life. And I would hope and implore that you do the same and reach out and be a part of those things as well. I hope that I can be some type of hub to kind of connect with that. But as September rolls through and we work our way through the fall and the winter months here, come back to the show. We'll have Hot Off the Press episodes coming. We'll have more great interviews coming each month. So stay tuned for all that. If you've missed any episodes too, please check us out on Spotify or anywhere else that you find your podcasts. We are out there and for you to listen. You can go into the Wayback Machine and listen to some original show content. Man, I haven't done that in a long time. Maybe I shouldn't. I implore you to do the same though. Go ahead and take a look and take a listen. So thanks again for being here on the FSHD Society Radio Show. Another great show with Jen and Tony. Visit them on their YouTube channel. Just search Jen and Tony. You will find them there. Thanks again. And until next time, as they would say, take care of each other. Thanks for listening. This has been the FSHD Society Radio Show.